Morning, everyone. A word of greeting to you students up there. Aren't you glad to be back in school? You know, this is really something after a year and a half of being, you guys have been kind of like the political football thrown around and we're glad you're back. It's so much better if it can be face-to-face learning. I know some of you, especially in some college students, you're still doing the distance learning, but our hearts are with you, and we trust that this will be a good year for you and enjoy it. I know your families are glad that we're working through this. And we'll be praying for you, and we're behind you. I have lots of years of education. As one friend of mine said, I'm educated way beyond my intelligence. And but it's really fun to learn, and I hope you enjoy this whole learning process. And I'm mindful of you as I'm speaking, because I hope that some of these things you'll find will be really interesting. And in probably a couple of weeks from now, at the end of the service, you're going to have kind of a youth group experience. Luke and Johan will take you out of at the end of the service, they'll take you up to the youth room, and you'll have a chance to basically say, answer this question: what was he talking about? So that's a good question. In fact, everybody here should be asking that question, every single one of us. So what am I supposed to do with this? This is God's word, and we're going to read some words today. I'm going to read some words to tell you, to just remind us all how seriously God takes our hearing of the word. He wants us to do something with every time we hear it. This morning we just started, if you were to grab the notes, and you see them in the back every Sunday, and these are the fresh ones from today, and thanks again to Dr. Ortner for printing these up and also helping to get it out to the congregation. If we have your email address, we like to send all of this out, and there are personalized questions that are at the beginning. And then there's an opening paragraph. I was just thinking about, we're going to be talking about things that last. And I was, you know, thinking for you guys that are in school, you might think, well, is this going to make a difference, all the stuff I'm learning in school? Oh, yeah, it's kind of like brick upon brick. You're learning these things. And it's a great thing to learn. But brick by brick, a building is raised. And this stuff matters. And every time you hear God's word, it should matter. I was thinking about things that last. After 20 years, we just left Afghanistan, just kind of like overnight, boom, we're gone. And it's chaos, right? We see this. It is sad. It's ugly. It's not the way it should have been. But what did we expect? 20 years. 20 years of investment, not only of American lives, but of Afghan lives. And one of the saddest things I've ever heard, when you think about what lasts, I heard about, I saw this displayed in front of my eyes, and I heard the voice of the man who said it. And he said, I'm hiding, and I'm hiding my children. And I don't dare go out on the street because they'll find me and they'll find my children. And then this, after 20 years of investment, so much money and so much human capital, this is what this Afghan friend said. I wish I never worked for the United States. Now that's a true gut-level experience. It's a horrible thing to come to the end of your life and think that you invested your life in something that doesn't matter. But God says, your life matters. Do you believe that? As to how much? Do any of us have a good idea of how much our life really does matter to God? Well, as I say often, you look at the cross and you understand how much our lives matter to him, right? It's absolutely true. That's how much our lives matter. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read just a few verses, actually probably three verses, beginning with Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Then we're going to turn to another passage, so keep your Bibles handy. Paul says in verse 16, this is like a theme of the book of Galatians. It's one of the two or three major themes. Paul says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh." Or, "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Depending upon the translation you use, it goes back and forth between, if it says flesh, it will follow all the way through. Every time the word flesh says flesh, the word sarx. Or, as the NIV translation is, the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, as the New American Standard says. Walk in the Spirit or by the Spirit. Be tuned in to what the Spirit is saying as you walk through life. As you're walking, pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And you won't go down the wrong path as long as you're paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Now down to, in verses 19 through 21, we read what the desires of the flesh are, but that was last week. We dealt with some of that, but we didn't dig into all those. There were 15 right there, but there are many, many, many desires of the flesh, the works of the flesh. But now verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." If the law was all we had, we wouldn't get to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because if we were to look at this list and say, you know, I think this next week I'm going to bone up on faithfulness. I'm going to do that better this week. This week, you know, my theme is going to be patience. I need to do better with that. So I'm going to work at my patience. If we read this, we have to understand that God by his Spirit is saying, listen, if you walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit as God fully intends for you to do, that it's like the natural outcome will be as you're listening to the Spirit, as you're leaning on the Spirit, as you're just moving through your life, this fruit will be there in an abundance. And as Paul wrote this, it wasn't any mistake that he didn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. He says the fruit, singular, because God is interested in fruit. As a matter of fact, he is so interested that you and I bear much fruit. Much fruit. And that the fruit that we bear will actually matter forever. Do you believe that? That's an investment. That's an the investment that God wants us to make in living. You know, you guys have all seen, I'm a colorblind guy, okay? So sometimes colors elude me, especially when they're in fields of green. And every once in a while when I've driven through like where there are vineyards, I've looked to see if I could see, you know, as we're driving by at whatever the speed, doesn't make any difference. I'll look to see if I can see clusters of grapes. It's pretty hard, especially, well, they just, whether they're green or red, it doesn't make any difference. They kind of all look the same. But when I get up close, I mean, it's really beautiful, isn't it, to see a vine that's got all sorts of, it's got so many branches, and they are laden. They're just pulling these skinny little branches all the way out. They're drooping as they're full of luscious fruit. And the picture that God wants us to see is he really wants us to bear fruit. And lots and lots and lots of it. And he calls it fruit that lasts. Well, what am I referring to? Turn to John chapter 14. We're going to basically spend the rest of our time this morning in John chapter 14 as we continue to think through the fruit of the Spirit. So John chapter 14, fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 14. And I'm going to pick up reading at verse 15, John 14, verse 15. I want you to just follow along. I'm not going to read this quickly, and I'm going to read just so you know, I'm reading from John chapter 14, verse 15. And we're going to read all the way through chapter 15, verse 17. Now, this night for the disciples was a really emotional night. They had finished dinner, the Passover meal with Jesus. Jesus had been saying, they're going to take me and they're going to kill me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be betrayed by one of you in this room that I'm having dinner with. And they're all wondering, is it me? Am I going to be the turncoat? They're asking each other and they're asking him. They're really disturbed. He washes their feet that night. And he tells them to serve each other like he is serving them. And then we start at verse 14, chapter 14. We'll just transition. Chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Are you kidding? Jesus, what all that you just said? Yeah, he's not kidding. Trust in me, or trust God, trust also in me. But now down to verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I say. You know what he told his followers at the end, after the crucifixion and after the resurrection? He said this. He said, and this is serious, this is your mission. We call it the Great Commission. This is, if you're a follower of Christ, this is your mission. Make disciples. Help other people become a follower, one of my followers. And you do it this way. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They will be people with a new life. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And teach them to what? It doesn't say teach them everything I commanded you. Teach them to obey. To do something with everything I said. Guys, everything in this book, all those commands of Jesus are for us to obey. Verse 16, So I want you to obey everything that I commanded you. How am I going to do that, Lord? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another comforter, some texts say. Another means one just like me. I'm asking him to give you another one just like me, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. And that is, verse 17, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. Spirit, come on. Dan had us singing that song today. The ocean's deep. Spirit, lead me. Lead me. But the world out there thinks it sounds like mumbo jumbo. But you know him, for he lives with you. He's saying this to his disciples. You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. He's the Almighty God. He is just like the Father and the Son. He's God. And he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now he's talking about leaving us again. How are we going to get along without him? Somebody that we could see, as John wrote in his little letter, somebody that we could see and hear and touch. We always had him with us. I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. There's going to be that period of time when you'll see me again. Because I live in you, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved, and love is a verb, it's an action. He will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show him show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Doesn't everybody need to see this? It's just not fair. We always want to negotiate with Jesus. Verse 23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey me." Underscore that. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I'm saying what he wants me to say. Verse 25, "All this I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Put your finger there for a moment. The Counselor, who I'm going to send to you, will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I said to you. Now, he's going to say some really tough stuff. How are we going to get there if we're on our own? What kind of memory do you think we have, Jesus? Nobody's been taking notes on this. Seriously, this is tough stuff. Nobody's been taking notes. Every once in a while in our staff meeting, one of our guys, especially like Luke, he's up there in the balcony, Luke will say, "Would you say that again? What did you say?" Nobody was taking notes with Jesus. You know, it was just the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to remind you. He's God, the Holy Spirit. And his job is going to be to remind you of everything that I said to you. Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I may pray today for the people in Afghanistan. There are believers in Afghanistan who have come to Christ. And there, it's like somebody wants to punch their ticket, folks. And not just to send them packing, but to get them to leave this earth. And they're worried. They're concerned. But this Holy Spirit is with them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the Prince of the world is coming, and he has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And off they go, probably across the Kidron Valley and up to, they're on their way probably to that holy place where he will kneel with the disciples falling asleep around him. And he will say to the Father, if there's any other way, I'd be okay with that. But not my will, but yours be done. It's there in the Mount of Olives that they will see him praying and sweating great drops of blood. But on their way, they will pass vineyards heading up the slopes to Mount Carmel. And Jesus will say these words. Now listen, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. The vineyard is God's idea. And the Father is interested in lives mattering, in lives being beautiful and luscious, and making an investment in the lives of other people. And Jesus says, my Father is the gardener, and I am that vine that probably it has its roots in the soil. And the vines that he's probably talking about are some thick, sturdy vines coming out of those roots. And from that vine, come all sorts of branches of varying degrees of thickness all the way out to the smallest ones out on the end. And Jesus is painting a picture here. This picture is one that they can all understand. God has been interested. He's been talking about his vineyard throughout the Old Testament and now into the New. And he's saying, I planted a vineyard and I wanted it to bear fruit and it didn't bear fruit. How sad that my people lived their own lives and did their own thing. And Jesus said, now listen, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. I'm the one all those metaphors spoke of. I'm the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. This is his garden. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So here goes the gardener through his vineyard. And he's got his knife in his hand and he's cutting branches off. And those that have been, they've come to the end of their life. They are not bearing fruit. They haven't been bearing fruit. And he just lops them off. He just cuts them off. A life that is not bearing fruit, ultimately, Jesus is saying, is a life that is useless. Useless. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you have put your trust in Christ, You know, he fully intends for you to bear fruit, fruit that lasts. Unless you think, well, man, now I really got to make something of myself. This is a lot tougher than getting good grades. This is a lot tougher than getting all my work done, you know, on the job site. This is serious stuff. Because the Father's coming through with a knife, and he's cutting off the branches that for a long time have not borne fruit, and they've already started to wither. They're let's get rid of those. They're not there. But the branch that's bearing fruit, he so skillfully prunes so that that branch will now become more than one branch, and it'll bear fruit. Jesus says in verse 3, you are already clean. You've already, the gardener's been cleaning the garden. He's been trimming off the branches. You're already clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. What great words Jesus has been using. As he's told them, I love you. And they took that message all to the people around them. Sometimes he said to them, oh, you of little faith. You couldn't do this because you were trying it on your own. You were trying to drive the demon out. You were trying to heal these people without trusting me. You were just doing what you saw me do. But you were on your own, in your own strength. And so, as you've been listening to my words, those words have been like that knife. They've been just, my words have been, isn't that great to have the words of Jesus here? But he's saying, that's what my words do. They trim off the branches that, they just trim them right now so it can, what are you going to do with those words that you're hearing me talk about right now? If you take those to heart, if you say, I want to do something with these words, whether it's in school or in my family or in my neighborhood or out on the athletic field or on the job or with my relatives, I want to use those words. My words need to matter. So I need to So we're talking about Afghanistan. I just need to understand God's perspective on this and let his words just trim it off. Words like Reuben read today from Psalm 90 and Psalm 91. Those words, they clean the branches. Verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Now there's other translations say, abide in me. We should be asking the question, am I abiding in him? Am I like those people in that Samaritan town that asked Jesus to stick around for a couple days? And it said that when he stuck around and he talked to them, they said, that woman that we all know about her, that you talked to, and she said that you might be the Messiah, we listened to her, and you know what? We kind of believed her because she seemed to be already changing. But now we've listened to you, and now we've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Ooh. Abide in me. This sounds so trite, but he's saying, in essence, like he said, like the people in Samaria said, he's saying, hang out with me. Now, not like buddies. Continue to remain in me. Let me be your all in all. Let me keep talking to you. And understand, now this is why we all read all those verses from chapter 14, that the Spirit is in you. And he will be in you. And he'll always be in you if you're a follower of Christ. And he will bring to your remembrance everything that I said, as long as you have a willing heart to hear from him. Maybe sometimes it takes an argument with somebody and you just put your foot in your mouth, you know, you just, it didn't taste too good. And you realized you had just kind of blown it. Or you'd made some excuses that were phony. What do those excuses mean? Come on. That was an excuse. That's all it was. That's all it was. You talked about, you didn't listen to your sibling. You didn't listen to your friends. You didn't really care about their story. You cared about just yours. You left that conversation. You got in your car and you drove away and you said, oh, I meant to ask him. I meant to. So you knew that you'd kind of blown it. Jesus says, remain in me. Let my words remain in you. And that's going to make a difference, because if you have an open heart to hear from me day in and day out, just if you just have an open heart to hear from me, my spirit's living in you. And as you just say, well, now, Lord, where do I go from here? I just kind of, I was kind of a jerk in that situation. And Jesus says, well, then remain in me and let my words remain in you. No branch, not one single branch can bear fruit on its own. It's not going to do it. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Well, let's see, I don't really need this. I've read the Bible once. Good enough. Yeah, it was good to read it once, but that's it. It was good to be in church sometimes. It was good to, but, it must remain in the vine. Maintain that relationship with me, listening to me, and listening to me through the Spirit that is in you, the Holy Spirit, not just your spirit. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, verse 5, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and are burned. Put your finger there for a second. Just hold on. Kind of sounds like he's, if you don't bear some fruit, God's going to send you to the pit. Well, he's talking to his own. He's talking to people who are Christians, who've become his followers. They are sold out to follow him. And he's talking not only to them, but to all those people that Jesus would pray for, all the people that would turn to him because of their witness. He's not saying you guys are going to be thrown in the fire and burned up. He said you are like those branches that are useless. What's the use of your life if you're not going to bear fruit? If you're just going to do this on your own and try to make your life really significant. Verse 7, if you remain in me, and this is the promise, listen to this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it'll be done for you. What a promise. If you remain connected with me, in communication with me, through that spirit that is reminding you and teaching you and nudging you, that spirit that in chapter 16 he'll confront you when you're getting off base. And he will bring my words back to your mind, and it'll be like that knife that will just clean the branches so that you will bear fruit, because I'm really interested that your life be a wonderful investment in the lives of other people, your family, your friends, people you don't even know. This is to my Father's glory, verse 8, that you bear much fruit. In so doing, you'll prove yourself to be my disciples. question all of us would need to ask at this point in time is, so am I proving that I'm one of his disciples? Am I bearing fruit? Because now I really look good. I'm a somebody. You're a somebody that God loves. You don't have to prove that you're a somebody, but we need to bear fruit. Fruit that will matter. That fruit will be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. It'll be that, but it'll be so much more. It'll be people that have a passion for life because what they witnessed in you is a love for God's word, and a love to listen, and a love to obey, and a love to worship, and a love to tell other people about him. That's fruit. That's fruit that remains. I was talking to my friends this week that I have a study with every Wednesday, and we were talking about investments and, you know, what really matters. And, you know, one of the guys who was taught at Biola, taught music, led the choirs, led the music program. And he said, you know, what have I done? I haven't been, you know, I'm retired now. What am I doing now? And where's the impact from my life? And I said, well, are you kidding? There's a string of countless people that love the music that was created for God's glory. They love your passion. They the fruit of the Spirit is love. They learn to love the Lord's music and take it out literally all over the world. A life that matters is a life that goes on giving your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews, just it gives them a love for this Savior, Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's command and I remain in his love. There's no love without obedience. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I haven't held any of it back. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Verse 16 again. Let's make sure we all understand this. This is, be really clear on this. You didn't choose me. Well, I remember singing the song over and over and over again. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Wasn't that true? Did I decide? Well, yeah. I said, Lord, come into my life. You know, I was there when he came in. That was pretty cool. But he said, really, you didn't choose me. Where this all started is I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that lasts. You know, you might think, you guys, I've talked to some people about Jesus, and they seemed like, they seemed indifferent. I guess that didn't last. How do you know? Maybe at that point in time, they didn't go, I got it. And they opened their lives to Christ, and Christ came into their lives, and it was a wonderful, glorious time, and the organ music played and whatever. I don't know. But you don't know. But that every relationship you have, can you just say, Lord, use me. I don't know how you would use me. Some people are very outgoing. Some people are very, very shy. Some people are quiet, and they don't start the conversation. They just respond. Remember, God wants you to bear fruit. He's in charge of the ultimate results. You see, it's the Holy Spirit. Remember this. The fruit of what? This is Galatians 16. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is people coming to Christ. He just wants us to abide in the Spirit and be willing to listen to his words. Be willing to be guided by the direction he sets for us. Are you willing? Will God find us willing this week to just be there in the Spirit to speak to somebody in the doctor's office, in the hospital, on the job, in the neighborhood, when you're out for a walk? You can try your best to orchestrate every little piece of this, but he's not inviting us to just orchestrate it all, but to walk in the Spirit, which is not passive. It is to walk with an ear to him speaking and strengthening and equipping and guiding. You know the really cool thing I can say as a pastor? I would love for us to say everybody here is producing a disciple every week. Wouldn't that be cool? And you know, it could be some churches are like that. I know when Pastor Luis, he says, you know, when I tell people, you better get people here. You get them here and I'll let them know the gospel. And there, when they have an event, they invite their friends and they sit at tables and the music plays. It's big music, and it's loud. It's really, really loud. And you sit at a table trying to talk to the people that you brought. Forget it. But their whole strategy, is get the people here, get their names, build a relationship with them, share the gospel face to face without all the music playing. Share the gospel face to face and let the Spirit do the work. And it's like a team effort. When Jesus is talking to his disciples, he wasn't just saying, now every one of you is on his own. No, he's talking to his disciples as a group. And he says, abide in me. That's individual and together. Abide in me and do what I say, as individuals and together. Be available to communicate Christ, his love, his words, whatever he guides you to do in that Spirit who is in you. And he'll have his way. Would you stand with me, please, and we're going to pray. Just as we stand, before I pray, are you willing? Are you eager to listen to the Spirit? Will the Lord find us abiding in him, in Jesus? It's the same deal, abiding in him and being led by the Spirit. who's going to point always, he's going to always point to Christ. The Spirit is always going to point to Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you for these, for every word that Jesus said. Lord, may we have our ears and our eyes tuned to what Jesus said, and may the Spirit who is in us help us understand and help us do something with what we've heard. And so, Lord, we pray that we will represent you well to our families, to our friends, to people we have yet to meet. May we walk in the Spirit and bear fruit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.